This episode is sponsored by It Ends With Us.
Based on the global best-selling phenomenon by Colleen Hoover, this captivating, faithful adaptation of the book is the movie of the summer.
Blake Lively stars as Lily Bloom, a woman embarking on a new life in Boston after overcoming a traumatic childhood. A chance meeting with the charming neurosurgeon Ryle sparks an intense connection, but as they fall in love, Lily begins to see sides of Ryle that remind her of her parents' problematic relationship.
When Lily's first love, Atlas, re-enters her life and her relationship with Ryle is upended, Lily realizes she must rely on her own strength to make an impossible choice for her future.
A Colleen Hoover book is always a good book, and I cannot wait to see this story brought to the screen. It Ends With Us is only in cinemas from August 9th.
This August, the best-selling phenomenon, It Ends With Us.
If you had a daughter, what would you say to her?
That captivated the world.
We all have an idea of what love can be.
Is now a movie that everyone's talking about and can't be missed.
15 seconds, that's all it takes to change everything.
Starring Blake Lively, It Ends With Us, only in cinemas August 9th.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show.
So then we go to the Gorgas, and of course, this is a finale where both sides are trying to win points, so they're both going to bring up their dead parents as much as possible so that we have black and white scenes, and they can say, I had a mom, I had a dad, and try to win sympathy points. And they both do it. They're both fucking shameless with this. So we cut to Joe Gorga, who's like, I got to go watch. My dad gave me this. Yeah. I'm just going to put it on the season finale to say, God, I love my dad. I love my dad.
Yeah, when my dad gave me this watch, he said, gold watches are for pussies. Here's your watch. And I said, Dad, that was really mean. And he said, what? Pussy says what? And I go, what? He goes, pussy says what? I go, what? He says, pussy goes, says what? And I started to cry. Love you, Dad. Love you, Dad.
So they do the whole, like, she's my sister. I'm always going to care. Because Melissa's like, well, they're saying that, like, she's in this bad situation with Louie and that she's losing all this weight and that she let. And he's like, I'm always going to care because she's my sister. But, you know, you remember how, like, you know, how we had a pizza oven? We said, there is. And they took the pizza oven. We said, they didn't. And then they took the pizza oven. Remember there was that? And then there was that other thing where they did that thing. And then there was that other time they did that other thing. Like, yeah,
first they came from a pepperoni, then they came from a mozzarella, and then they came for the whole pizza oven. Should have seen
that. Then they came from my spray can of hair, and that's it. Never
then
go back.
They came
back from
my dad's pajamas.
Never go back, babe. So she's like, okay, then fine. I'm never going to break boundaries again. I'm just going to go try and trigger an already triggered Teresa for a good last minute finale scene. He's like, go for it, babe. So then we go to the Last Supper. Dun, dun, dun. And Dolores arrives to Rails. And the hostess takes her out. She goes, okay, we've reserved for you the mosaic room, which is hilarious that they've called it the mosaic room, which is broken glass. That is so fucking beautiful. This show's poetic.
But also, you know that, like, whoever is the owner of Rails was like, you know what? Let's open up a private space upstairs. What do you want to call it? I know. How about the mosaic room? It'll be a classy spot where people at Rails can share memories and a lifetime of togetherness at the mosaic room.
Let's call it the mosaic because it's the room that the most glass is broken in because the housewives are always there. And, you know, this show's art. It's like Hoboken art. Let's it's Rails and Hoboken. No, that was the Manzo's restaurant. It was in Hoboken.
Yeah.
Sorry, you know my what? Bad.
You know what? I think we're saying it wrong. I don't believe it's called the mosaic room. I think it's called the mosaic room.
The mosaic, there he is, room.
There he is, room. Yeah, I just thought it was so hilarious that Rails was trying to have this, like, elevated private space called the mosaic room. It's just, it, like, made so no funny sense, the mosaic room.
So then Dolores is like, wow, You know, I've really put a lot of thought into this Last Supper. See, this is all about history. All right, run the clips of Jesus learning to fish down the shore.
Oh, okay. Oh, we have Jacqueline instead. Okay, how about Jacqueline? So we see Jacqueline yelling at Teresa in the mosaic room, I'd like to add. So we see that this room has actually never solved any issues for anyone on this show. Going back to Jacqueline.
Never. I mean, it's always gone terribly in this room. And we see all the scenes of it going terribly at Rails. And then Dolores goes, you know, the past Rails lunch, whatever. I'm not going to hold it against Rails.
Thank you. You know what? It's all about energy when you walk into a place. A lot of natural wood, a lot of unnatural faces. You see birds. You see a train. There's a tire over there that's on fire. There's Kim G. Hanging her head's over the fence. If you look real closely. The napkin that she threw down on the staircase when she chased Danielle Staub out. Yeah, that's still on the steps right over there. It's dark. It's a black napkin now. A lot of dirt.
This is how she describes it. She's like, and then of course the train, and you just see this huge commuter train, like, bum, 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 bum. It's all about, like,
this is not a freight train. This is not a freight train, like, enigmatically traveling through the American West with smoke coming out of its smokestack and, like, canyons. This is just a fucking New Jersey transit train going by.
Yeah. It's like the commuter train. So funny. It's like, it's all about relaxing. It's all about peace. So Fessler arrives, and they all have these, like, crazy arrivals. They're all dressed really formally, and they all get their own arrival and their own car. It's like, dun, 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 yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and Dolores is like, well, I'm sweating already. I'm getting a little nervous because, you know, I care about everybody like family, and I want them to get things off their chest civilly. You know, for instance, if someone says something about you that you don't agree with, you say, are you a fucking C-cut fitness right now? I never said that before. That's how family talks. That's how I talk to my sisters, at least.
You stupid cut fitness. This is how it is. So then Rachel comes in, and basically, everybody starts arriving, and Rachel's like, so, what are you guys' expectations for today? I hope there's no charcuterie, because the other day, I put together a charcuterie, and let me tell you, it wasn't the easiest thing in the world. I was so afraid I was going to drop it.
Well, guess what? The theme of today is listening. So, everyone's going to get to speak, and everyone's going to listen. That is definitely the theme, and we will definitely be seeing that theme throughout the rest of this episode.
So basically everyone arrives, and Marge is like, yeah, Hungarian assassin vibes. That's what's coming in right now. You better watch it, buddy.
Yeah, and Teresa's the last to arrive, and then she sees that she's placed right in front of Margaret, and she's like, I know, I don't want to sit next to, across from her, okay? Because, like, no, because, like, we're going to wind, you know what? You're going to wind up at wearing whatever it was, because I don't want to, you know, because I can't control myself, okay? I don't want to sit here. I don't want to sit here.
Ridiculous. And Marge's like, whatever, loser. Go sit over there. So Fessler does a hello, well, welcome to lunch. Please, let's not talk about any carbs having sex with other carbs. I can't take it today. I'm telling you that right now. Well, I know it's not easy being here. As a group, I know we're just so divided. And the whole thing today is to be heard, much like the train that's about to pass by. I know it's relaxing. Try not to fall asleep. And just remember, I'm here to try and get our sisterhoods back on the tracks. You stupid cut fitnesses, don't ever fuck with me again. I'm only talking to you like that because I love you. Right.
So the first one to have the floor is a focaccia crocodile. Okay, come on up here. Oh, I forgot he doesn't talk. I just want to highlight the great work that the local bakers in New Jersey do. Okay, now we're going to go on. Jen and Danielle, you have
the floor. Like to thank the local bakery, Macrame, for what they do.
I would like to, before we get started, I want, in the spirit of moving forward, I want to say that baked goods are moving forward. Please, please enjoy the world's first ever crofaccia. It's a croissant and a focaccia in the shape of a crocodile.
It's a crofaccia dial, okay? All right. So there's going to be an order, and the only time I'm going to step in is when I think the point has been made. Now, I know that you're all confused, mostly because I'm dressed like I'm going to an ice skater's funeral, and you're thinking, what ice skater died? I'm not telling you until you all behave. It's a bunch of cup fitnesses. I'm sorry. I got carried away.
So Teresa's on her phone because she's like, I don't care. I want to show how much I don't care. So they start with Danielle and Jen. So Danielle's like, she's like, okay, listen, I want to have a conversation where I can verbalize instead of coming at you with complete anger. And which is like, okay, a nice sentence.
Oh, yeah, it's not bad if you're even capable of it.
Okay. A little bit of an aggression. A little bit of an aggression, but I think we could do this.
Okay, well, when you question somebody like me, look at yourself first. For that charity event, my husband and I gave $2,500 to make $25,000, and I planned a beautiful meal for you. That tip for $600 came out of my pocket, and all the private car services came to your house, came out of the budget.
Yeah, exactly. It came out of the budget, okay? Because you didn't pay for that. You're hustling everybody for free because you can't afford things. I get it.
This is the point where someone should have said, do you guys realize what you're fighting about? You guys realize what you're risking your jobs over right now is a stupid semantics over this stupid charity situation. So, and then Melissa's...
Jen is just so wrong in this. Like, people don't pay all the expenses out of their own pocket for a charity event, you fucking Looney Tune.
Yeah. I mean, you have there's a budget for a charity event. I've actually almost forgotten entirely about what the nuts and bolts are of this argument, except that it's just a stupid ass argument and they both should have moved on by now. And the fact that they've gotten so violent over charity is wild.
So then Jen's like,
you didn't pay for that. You're hustling everybody. You can't afford things. I'm rich. I get it. I'm richer than you.
And Melissa's like, oh my God, talking about money, that's fucked up. I mean, you got to be humble. Am I right? You just got to be humble. And Jen really is an asshole. I don't remember where I mentioned this, but she was just doing some red carpet or something. Oh, I think for that new Bravo restaurant they had called Diamonds and Rosé. It's like a Bravo bar or something like that.
Oh.
And they were doing an opening and they were interviewing Jen. And they're like, so what do you think about Andy saying that they're going to reboot this entire franchise? She goes,
huh, what am I going to do without the show? I mean, who cares? Look at me. I'll probably walk around my house and count my bathrooms. I'm rich. I have so many bathrooms. I'll still be rich tomorrow. I'm rich yesterday. I'm rich today. I'll be rich tomorrow. Hey, bathroom number one. Hey, bathroom number two. No pun intended. Look at me. I don't need a show. I don't need it at all.
Yeah, her brother better watch out because Jen is going to be crashing those seventh grade, you know, performances of 42nd Street. She's like,
hey, everyone, the real star's here.
So Danielle is like, Jen is like,
we're in the money. That's my favorite song. We're in the money. Danielle don't got no money. Danielle is poor. Yeah, baby.
So Jen's like, you know what, listen, Danielle, you want my life, I get it, you get to my house, that is what you want. And Danielle's like, oh God, I want nothing that you have. You have 18 fucking bathrooms, but your house is empty. It's just empty. It's filled with love, baby, for people who don't talk to their family. They need to find family and their friends.
Oh yeah, you're sad. Just sad is what you are, huh? You're sad.
She's, I'm not sad, baby. She's, well, yeah, I know you cry.
Yeah, I know you cry. I know you cry alone at home because you couldn't even touch what I got with a 10-foot pole, all right? You couldn't even touch it.
Babe, you're so irrelevant.
And then Jackie's like, well, what, guys, why don't we move on? Okay, like, this is dumb, and I'm sure there won't be any bombshells coming up later this episode, so why don't we move on to something else? She goes,
no, it's fine, baby. I'm laughing at you because you're a clown, Jen. I mean, Danielle.
Yeah, you know what? I go home to my husband, and my husband's waiting for me at the door. So that's all I need to know.
Oh, wonderful! Your husband with the boobs, and you got the brawn, honey.
Your husband with the boobs. So she did say brawn, right? Because I was like, did she say boobs or bra?
Bra, actually, but maybe it was brawn. I'm not sure. But either way,
the key was she
said your husband with the boobs, and that was the trigger. And Danielle jumps up and throws stuff across the table.
You motherfucker, you motherfucker.
You should have said, at least, you know, my husband doesn't sleep in the pool house. You know, like, at least I get to play with his moobs or something. But
something.
Yeah, she went crazy and threw something again. I mean, and here's Danielle's thing. Like, I think Danielle's so funny on the show, but she's trying with this Teresa shit too hard. It's like, look at me. I'm not talking to my family either. It's basically the same thing as my Teresa. Oh, last season wasn't enough with my brother. Now I'm not going to talk to my dad either. It's the same storyline. Am I right, guys? And then, like, always trying to flip a table or throw something. I'm like, girl, you know, come up with your own stuff, you know? You're like a great value version of Teresa. Just be yourself. You're crazy enough. Trust me.
Yeah. So they have this big fight over man boobs. And then, like,
also, Danielle's, I don't know, screaming. That Jen Aiden's really the one to be throwing that nipple. You know what I mean? I am an owner of man boobs. So first same. Of all, stop shaming the boobs, because I've got them. And second of all, pretty sure that Bill's not like a Brad Pitt build. So I don't know. Maybe check your husband's nipples, where your husband's nipples lie while he's sitting on the pot reading the newspaper before you throw.
Maybe she was just trying to shame Nate into being a client for Bill. Maybe that was the plan all along.
Trying to get business.
Yeah, tell him to fix his moves. Maybe you can have a charity event to pay for it.
I would like a charity event for my moves. That would be great.
Yeah, we should have GoFundMes for moves.
I know. I have a real moob situation that I've never been able to get rid of. But, you know, that's life. Body positivity. So yay. So then they're fighting. Emily's like, cut it out. So then Teresa's yelling, and she's like, guys, cut it out. Cut it out. Okay, cut it out. And Melissa's like, cut it out. You're the queen of this shit. She goes, oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. And I'm trying, by the way, I'm recording in my hotel room, and I'm trying very hard not to get in trouble by screaming this recap out, because I can hear people in the hallway. So if I can hear them, they definitely can hear me in right now, making all these Teresa noises.
Welcome to New York City, suckers.
I know, that's true.
But yeah, this is, first of all, I guess that what we just saw was Danielle throwing a pitcher, but we didn't see it. So is this when she threw the infamous glass pitcher that they cut out?
Yeah, there was definitely, this is definitely where she threw like glass. Okay. I don't know what was cut out or not cut out, but like, this is where the broken glass came from.
So I think this was basically Melissa and Teresa saying like, oh, this is supposed to be another big showdown with us, and we've just let the B squad take over, and they even stole Teresa's move of throwing glass at somebody. What are we going to do? So Melissa's like, oh yeah, they learned it from you, white trash. And Teresa's like, ha, 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 ha.
And Rachel's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? What the fuck? Do I have to get the allergist out here and prick you in the back? What's wrong with you? Melissa goes,
and then Melissa's like, mom.
I'm Antonia's mom. I'll let you know her. You think I'm a whore. I have a daughter. How could you say that in front of a daughter?
Oh, gosh. Let's go. Now it's going to be daughter wars.
Okay. My brother married a whore.
Enough. Enough. The two of you are fucking kidding me right now. You're fucking kidding me.
And by the way, if he did marry a whore, can we stop shaming whores too? It's a job. Too. Jesus Christ. My God, I'm so sick of that. If he married a whore, good for him and good for her for like getting to work from home. You know what I mean?
So everyone's things settle down for a moment. And Dolores is like, okay, Danielle, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Okay. And Jen's like, Jen's saying to the producer, she's like, listen, I think that she should go because, like, I think she should go because LV, I don't want her here. Because LV is the producer. They call her LV.
I like that they just, like, gave the producers code names because they don't want the cast contacting them at home. They're like, this is LV. That's Chanel. Okay. And over there, we've got Gucci. Yeah.
Brand names. Like, if you could be found in the Primus Mall, you're on the production team. Baby,
I need someone a little more rough and tumble if I'm going to deal with her again. Send in the gap, Alvy. Send in the gap.
Does anyone know where Claire is?
Claire must have heard it with her bleeding ears.
I demand to speak to Spencer.
All right, are we going to devolve into fart jokes already? So Danielle's LV is like, if you're lunging across the table, Danielle, you're gonna have to go. And she's like,
I promise you, I'm done already, I'm done with it.
So she's crying and she goes to the bathroom, and Dolores goes with her, and she's trying to give her a pep talk, you know. And then so Teresa comes up to her. She goes, why'd you do that? And she goes, Teresa, there's not the fucking time for that. She goes, oh yeah, Oh, yeah? Well, what about what Margaret's been doing to me?
She literally does that. Danielle just got into a fight with Jen, and Teresa's like, well, but what about Margaret doing this? Look what she's doing. Danielle's like, stop, it's not about you right now. Well, I'm just saying.
I thought that was great when she screamed at Teresa. She's like, it's not about you right now, Teresa.
Can you believe it? There's like a fight with glass being thrown. They're separated right now. And Margaret's like, but what about what Margaret's doing? Teresa's like, what about Margaret's doing to me? It's so classic Teresa, which is why I just can never be on her side. Because, like, you know, you can call Melissa annoying. You can call her whatever you want to say about her, passive aggressive. But, like, Teresa is just the biggest idiot and so stubborn and just so, like, she just only sees the world through such a perplexing and aggravating and frustrating lens that I just cannot be on her side.
Yeah, I think this is definitely one of those shows where it's just wiser not to take sides. I mean, people are just morons.
I mean, look,
Teresa,
it's funny.
One of the dumbest people on the show. Oh my God. Yeah. And she devolves into perfect Teresa for the rest of the episode, where when Teresa's confused, which is like literally all the time, she just goes into her you are fights that are like, you are.
I mean, look, it's entertaining as fuck.
Your husband says, yes, does. You are. You're in jail. It's like, oh my God.
You know, the Housewives have a great tradition.
Words.
The Housewives have a great tradition of cast members who filter every single living experience around them into like their own like pity party or something like that, just as Teresa did right here. And a lot of times I just think it's hilarious. Well, Teresa, it just annoys me because I guess there are just so many sanctimonious fights that swirl around her at all times that eventually you start taking it too seriously. And like the truth is, normally I find this to be very funny when someone would say like, but what about what Margaret's doing to me right now? Like that is fucking hilarious. But man, she drives me nuts.
I laughed, but then it's hard to be on Melissa's side sometimes because Melissa's not even in this and really hasn't done anything all season. And Teresa's done a pretty good job of just completely ignoring Melissa. But then Melissa has to be like, oh, yeah, she learned it from you, Teresa. It's like, oh, my God, you're not even in it. Stop trying to make something happen just because it's the season finale. You know, you did nothing all year. All I want to see from you is you sit there and cry that Antonio went to college. That's all you've earned.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. We know the six wives of Henry VIII as pawns in his hunt for a son, but their lives were so much more than just being the king's wives. I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Royals. In each episode, we'll pull back the curtain on royal families, past and present, from all over the world to show you the darker side of what it means to be royalty.
We rarely see Henry VIII's wives in their own light, as women who used the tools available to them to hold on to power. Some women won the game, others lost, but they were all unexpected agents in their own stories.
Being a part of a royal family might seem enticing, but more often than not, it comes at the expense of everything else, like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Go deeper and get more to the story with Wondery's top history podcasts, including American Scandal, Legacy, and Black History for Real.
My name is Georgia King, and I am thrilled to be the host of And Away We Go, a brand new travel podcast on Wondery Plus, where we'll be whisked away on immersive adventures all around the world. Where we go, what we do, what we eat, drink, and listen to will all be up to my very special guests. We've got Ben Schwartz taking us on a whirlwind trip around Disneyland. We'll eat a bowl of life-changing pasta with Jimmy O. Yang in Tuscany, Italy. And how do you feel about a spot of sugaring off with Emily Hampshire in Montreal? And Away We Go will immerse you in some of the wonders of the world.
We're going to be seeing some yellows and vibrant oranges.
And the shoes clicking against the cobblestone.
If you're looking to get somebody in the mood, have them look at the Chicago skyline.
You can listen to And Away We Go exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Georgia, do you know what joy sounds like?
I think I'm hearing it right now.
So Danielle goes off to the bathroom and Teresa's calling out calling out after her, saying,
I'm not saying it's about me. I'm not saying it, but I'm saying not to get violent. Like the way Margaret Josephs wants to be violent with me right now.
And Jen back at the table is like,
what? His husband's got man boobs. What are you going to do? It's got the man boobs. Hey, waiter, can I order some man boobs? Sorry, you're going to have to pick them up from Danielle's husband, baby.
Melissa's like, so here's the thing, Jen. I think that when we talk about husbands, it's like the most sensitive thing. And Jen's like, don't start none. Won't be none, Melissa. Like, she does this whole other voice. She goes,
she's sitting here talking about me crying alone at night at home, okay?
Don't start none. Don't be none, okay?
And she's trying to do her Candy Burris voice, and it's problematic every damn time she does it. It's just as problematic now as it was the first time. And Margaret's like, oh, you know what? She shouldn't have thrown anything. That's true. She goes,
thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Margaret, for finally being on the right side of history.
So then Danielle is...
Well, congratulations. Someone finally sees my side.
So Danielle's coming out of the bathroom, whatever. And she's like, she's so fucking dirty, bro. And Dolores like, Danielle, pull yourself together. It's a long day. We got to throw the C word around to a lot of different people. Okay, this is just the beginning.
So Jen is still trying to poke at her. She's like,
that girl's this aggressive. It's like back in cheerleading. She's aggressive. She's aggressive. Low, low, low. Moves.
And then Fester's like, okay, you guys, I just want to let you know I can't mediate this. You've gotten used to this. It's the level of disgusting, and I can't be around it. It's fucking gross. I'm out of here. This is my ending. I'm basically sitting in a diner with my family. I see a guy walk in. I'm not sure if he's going to kill me. The scene goes to black. What happened to Fessler? Nobody knows. Is it a brilliant ending or is it the most frustrating ending you've ever seen? I don't know. Fessler's out. Talk about it on the interwebs.
This is totally against my brand. My brand is not watching women fight at rails. My brand is getting railed by James Gandolfini. Fessler out.
Last time I got railed this hard, I at least had a piece of wonky hair between my teeth. I'm out.
Rachel, does anyone else think it's weird that Jen's hosting a party and she just left? Anyone? Does anyone want to hear about my allergist again? Because I can't offer up that. I've got way more stories about that. Like, no. So Dolores and Danielle come back, and Danielle is like on the other side of the room, and production security is there and everything. Normally, she would have been gone, but I think they're like, this is the end of the season and this cast. Let's just let this play out. So Dolores goes, Jen, can I ask you one thing? If she stays over there, you okay? Are you okay? She's,
yes, I'll give you permission to stay. I feel like she's digging her own grave, so tell her I say welcome. She don't fucking bother me none. Can't have none, won't be none, am I right? She can come back. I'm dressing for a fucking party. You're all dressing for a fucking funeral. I dress for a party because I'm laughing at that fucking guy, baby.
She's got my permission to come back, baby.
So then let's see, Melissa's like, well, I'm a whore, so I guess let me just sit here in my whoreness and my stripperness.
She tried to bring the fight back to her. It didn't really.
She's trying to bring it back to her, but literally no one cares. They're like, we've seen 13 seasons of this and we're bored. Okay. At least we got a new pitcher to be thrown. So then, they all reassemble.
They're kind of like, yeah, they reset the kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jackie's like, oh, by the way, Dolores, while you were in the bathroom, Jen Fessler left. Oh, really? Why?
Well, she said she couldn't handle it. And I was like, this is your party. Am I right? But I guess that's just a whore speaking. No one takes a whore seriously. God, I'm such a whore. Who wants to fight with me? It's the finale. No one?
Oh, yeah, because her friend is the one who's the bio person. I mean.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm the worst. You know what? Maybe Teresa wants to say something to me. I'd gladly listen to that. Go ahead, Teresa. Try and form some words together. Into a sentence.
I don't got nothing. Go ahead, man. You do it.
No, I was just going to say, I don't got nothing to say to you, okay? I mean, you know exactly what you've been doing. I mean, five of the women came to my home and I showed them, like, the black and white truth. And, like, I have the facts. Like, I go on facts. There's no such thing as a croissant and a donut, like, together. Because, like, a croissant's a croissant and a donut's a donut. You can't mix them together. So you should stop trying to say these things are like a cronut because that, like, is not even real. Like, I can't. It's too much. I can't.
You know what? I go on facts also. So I'm going to give you the facts. March of 2022, croissant dough was actually accidentally put into a donut fryer. Boom. Cronut was born.
After you guys spoke to Laura, okay? Cronut's number one fan, okay? Just look at her pictures on Instagram these days. Am I right? Okay. God bless. You know, have you ever seen a court reporter try to type in a court record while eating a Cronut at the same time? It's very, it's not smooth. Very greasy letters.
Call her a courtroom monster, because she's like a court reporter and a monster mixed into one. So listen, in March 2022, after you guys spoke to Laura, was the first time I ever spoke to the ex. And Laura says, like, wait a minute. Now that's a different story. That's the sound of a rewind, because surely you're rewinding to insert a clip here. Am I right, production? Don't make me come over there, you stupid fucking cop fitness.
And then 2 days ago, Margaret saying, like, look, I never spoke to the ex before New York. Although to me, that's, I don't know what that means before New York. I don't know what New York means in this timeline. So Dolores goes, what are you doing?
Because I guess Dolores is saying if the reunion was in 2022, right. That was, I think she's saying that Margaret is messing up with her timeline, because she said she never spoke to her before New York, but she did if she's saying 2022. I don't know. Because was that reunion filmed in 2023? I think it was. Yeah. So she's saying, if you can't say you didn't speak to her before the reunion, but now you're saying you did. I think it's just showing that timelines
are so confusing, because we see the episode and everything on the episode has happened a year earlier. So then when they talk about things, well, this was filmed in 2023. This was filmed in 2023. So maybe that reunion was in 2022. Like, I can never remember when as well. I think the reunion was like in January of 2023, something like that. But then again, maybe it was filmed in 2020. You know what? Honestly, I don't even care.
It's too much. So, it's too hard, you know? And this show's not intelligent enough to break your brain over.
No, it's not. So Teresa is talking about, like, you know, oh, she's lying. And Margaret, it's a bunch of back and forth. Like, let me finish. I want to speak. Let me finish.
You're lying.
Yeah, no, so Margaret is trying to speak, and Teresa's just going to do what she always does, which is repeat words over and over really loudly to stop the other person from speaking. So Teresa's like,
yeah, you got subpoena in 2021. So you got subpoena in 2021.
She's like, oh, my God. Well, it doesn't matter. She's lying. And so she tells us, Margaret, all she does is lies through her teeth, right? Because, like, Leah proved that she was talking to this individual, and that's why we subpoenaed her, and she never showed it up in court. And if she was telling the truth, she would have no problem to show up and say, I'm not speaking to this person.
She's going to get vocal notes like Adele. Like,
I know.
She's going to need vocal rest.
I know. So then Teresa's like,
no, if they would have put you on the stand, then they would have, like, asked you, like, when you were speaking to that person. And I would have said, no, in 2021, I never spoke to her. Yeah, but then you should have come to court then. She goes, well, March of 2022, I spoke with her. And after you guys spoke to Laura, I spoke to her. Let me finish. Okay. And you hear everything and you tell me what you think of this. So then they talk about, they each have their own timelines, etc. And they're just like, basically, it's like crosstalk again.
Yeah, and so Jen's like, Teresa, if you got the facts on your side, so don't worry about what she's got to say. Because Teresa will not just stop talking over, going, liar, you lying. She goes, well, how would you feel if I had, Teresa, just a question. How would you feel if I had Vanessa, probably, but it's been redacted, it's been bleeped out, at my house? And she goes, I'm sure you did. She goes, no, actually, I never had her at my house. That's what she does. She has people at a house the night before New York and a smear campaign on my husband.
That's a totally different issue. And Margaret goes, it's smear. Different.
And also, you guys had a private investigator going after everybody, and you had, like, evidence at the reunion. So
you literally just filmed a scene last week with a lawyer talking about why Margaret was evil. So Margaret's
fucking hypocrite.
The smear campaign was against us. And she goes, no, the smear campaign was on my husband. She goes, the smear campaign, there's nothing. We didn't do anything. She goes, no, you're a fucking disgusting human being with no soul. And she goes, who did the smear campaign? What smear campaign? What happened? I don't even know what a smear is. What are you talking? Here's a smear, there's a smear, everywhere a smear, a smear of banana pudding on a cronut. Oh, that's something
I did. I'm sorry, Ben. Did you say smear campaign? Because you're correct on that.
That's correct.
I have had
yes.
many smear campaigns. You know what?
A lot of bagel noshes.
Wouldn't be the same. I vote no. I vote they wouldn't be the same. Smear. Smear makes it all better. Okay. So let me, I think something that Teresa does other than the repeat herself over and over, she refuses to ever answer a question because Marge is actually asking a good question here, which is, what was the smear? The only thing, and I'm sorry to say it again, but it keeps coming up. What's the smear? The only thing that came out was the video that was already public when Marge brought it up to you. If she's talked to Vanessa and got all this information, she's never brought it up. She's never brought up any of the Louis fraud allegations, any of the abuse allegations, any of that stuff. She said, there was one line where she said something like, I'm not accusing of being abusive. The girlfriends are the ones accusing of being abused. That was all in People magazine, etc. It's other places. So what are these huge smears? Why can't Teresa answer?
Well, we know why Teresa can't answer, because she's not a very smart person. So Jackie tells us,
Margaret's so full of shit. That was a takedown at Margaret's that she had planned before the reunion last year, and that was all of us showing up to decide how to destroy Louis. It was. And I was asked point blank, was that a takedown? And I always said no, because I wanted to protect everyone. But yeah, that's why we were there.
I'm like, well, no shit, it was a takedown. Of course it was a takedown for Louis, because Louis had just unleashed a private investigator on all these people's lives and was being violent, and they had to have a reunion, and they were like, we need to get our shit in order because this guy is a lunatic, and we need to expose this guy because he is being shifty and shady to us right now. I'm like, I don't think there's any shame in like admitting that this is 100% what they were doing.
Well, and also Jackie was a huge part of that, but it's okay for her because she was mad about Teresa at another thing. So she's like, Jackie's always fine with everything after the fact. Like, she makes it okay for herself, you know, like everybody, I guess it does on these shows. But it's especially egregious with Jackie because Jackie kind of held herself to this higher level of like, I'm smarter than these people, which is correct. She is. And I'm more accomplished than these people, which, I mean, she is. And she's emotionally more intelligent than these people. She's on a higher moral level than these. So she presents herself that way. So to just watch her sell out for what? To like stand behind an abuser who's going to come after all, this whole group of women and call them all these names. And after his behavior at that, and then his behavior this whole year, it's pretty gross that Jackie, of all people, is going to sit here and try and win points by standing up for that.
Blech. I know. So Margaret's basically like, look, you know, I don't have to come up with a smear campaign because your husband does a good enough job of himself. And she's like,
yeah, full of shit. That's why you married a fucking plumber, you disgusting pig.
Which I think is funny because Teresa may have forgotten that she didn't Joe Giudice work in construction and like, but she's like, oh, but you married a plumber. And Margaret's like, well, I love to fuck the plumber.
Yeah, she's like dissing every blue-collar person. It's like hookers, plumbers. Like, she's just going after everybody. You know those are the people who buy your books. Plumber hookers.
And Rachel's like, what's wrong with being a plumber, by the way? And Margaret's like, you know, and your father was a cobbler. What's wrong with that? And which I'm shocked that did not send Teresa off because, you know, there's certain keywords that Teresa hears. And once they're uttered.
Now, listen, you know, everyone knows I love a cobbler. And personally, if I knew them better, I would have put a schmear and some banana pudding on top and called it a day. But you know what? You're the one being very, very offensive to cobblers right now.
And Melissa goes, and he's an amazing plumber. He's an amazing plumber. It's like, oh, implying that like actually if he was a bad plumber, it would have been really embarrassing for her. But don't worry, he's like a really good plumber. So it's like, it's worth it to sleep with him.
No one's had less shit in their pipes than customers of his. So don't you worry about it, Margaret.
So Teresa's like, you know, you're full of shit. You're the one that's a liar and that was trying to hurt my family by putting out all these false accusations. And Mark was like, I put them out. Yes, I put them out. Yes, you and Rachel and John, you lied to them. And Rachel's like, oh, lie about what? How could I lie when we're too busy going to the allergist? Do you want to hear about the allergist, anyone? Anyone?
Listen, I don't think we're lying. I think there might be some bone marrow stuck in somebody's throat. Just saying it happens. Okay. Happens. I did like when Teresa goes, yeah, you know what? You're so full of shit. That's why you had to marry a plumber. I thought that was a funny line. Probably written by somebody else, but I thought it was funny. So then, so Margaret's like, wait a minute. I'm going to say it point blank. Okay. I want everyone to be quiet. Be quiet. Let me finish here. Okay. Tell me if this makes sense. So right when the Warrior video comes out, right before that, she goes, oh, it came from you, huh? She just said it. It came from her. It's like, Teresa, please be quiet, okay? Listen, here's what I'm saying. Dolores, could you ask her to let me talk? She's like, you just said it. You just said it. She just said it. She's married to a plumber because she's full of shit. Oh, my God. So she goes, you know what? Okay, here's, I'm trying to build this up in an artistic way, but you won't let me. So you know what? Jackie had Louis's ex at her house there. And then it just stops and everyone's mouth drops.
Everyone is shocked. Even Rachel Fuda, who is still feeling a bit feisty about about Teresa because they just fought about John Fuda. So it's like a boom moment with Jackie.
Is this where she told her hot dog lips? Like, you shut up with your hot dog.
It was before this. Yes. They got into a whole thing where Rachel tried to step to Teresa and Teresa was
like, Rachel, you look like you've just been deployed to save a bunch of people drowning in a lake. Like, can we please not call other people hot dog lips? I mean, Jesus Christ. You're not wrong, but you know, you are on the wrong side of history on that one, you fucking hypocrites.
So everyone is shocked. And so Jackie is like, what the fuck are you talking about in 2021? Are you out of your fucking mind? No. And Jen's like, Jackie, you had Louis's ex at your house? Because Jen, of course, is happy to amplify this because Jen doesn't like Jackie. She never has. Jackie's like, right. No, I did not. I did not. I absolutely did not have her over.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. And Jackie's like, are you out of your fucking mind, Marge? She's 2021 before the Warrior video came out even. And Teresa goes, you're fake and you're phony and you're a liar. You're married to a plumber because you're full of shit. And
hey, baby, like, let it talk, guys.
Let it talk. This is great.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f***ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. You're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the Witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new Dateline, and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So Melissa's like, Margaret, how do you know about this information? Okay, well, I found out last week, because guess what? Redacted name face called me. Yeah. And Jackie's like, okay, you know, you're trying to make this about me.
She goes, I called her to ask her.
You're right. I called her. My bad. I called Redacted Face. Okay. I literally found out last week when I called the ex and I said, what is this meeting with James Leonard about? And she said, who's attending the party? And I gave her a list of the people. And I said, even Jackie Judas Goldschneider is there. And she goes, why would she go? I said, because she's pathetic. She calls people slobs when she's bored. And now she's going over there to get some free food. And she had, you know, and then this face, Redacted Face says, guess what? Jackie Judas Goldschneider had me at her house years ago.
Yeah, it was on the heels of hating you. And she goes, you know, I said, please send me the timeline and the screenshot of when you first spoke on the phone. And she did. Margaret getting the physical fucking evidence. I told her, you send me a Cricket mobile login so I can get the actual phone record so nothing can be deleted, okay? And the exact date that she started speaking with her was February 25th, 2020. One. She befriended her. I did not, Margaret Joseph. How dare you? And Teresa's just like, ping, 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 ping.
Teresa doesn't know what to do.
You see Teresa just trying to figure out what the hell is going on here.
Yeah. And Dolores goes, Jackie, can I say one thing? I'm not a fucking slob. Okay, another thing. Have you met with the ex before this, before you were friends? And Jackie goes, no. And Melissa goes, she's just asking if you met her at her house. And she goes, no, I didn't. Admit if it's true, because I'm sure there's proof.
And Dolores goes, yeah. And then everybody goes quiet. And Jackie just goes,
I met with her. Okay, I met with her. Yeah, but we hated each other, you know? You went after my husband, and I was scared to tell you because I didn't want to fuck this up, you know, our friendship and everything. But you know what? I'm glad that you know now, because I was just always nervous that you were going to find out. And it wasn't me. Shut the fuck up, Marge. No, everything that came out was from her. She's like, shut up, Marge. Just no, you better come on me.
So where's this discussion that Jackie just let Marge take the fall for this for years?
Yeah.
Marge, even this whole year when she could have turned on Jackie after Jackie totally turning on her, could have done this whole year and didn't do it until Jackie pushed her to this point at the finale.
Exactly. And Jack says, listen, it was February 2021.
March is a saint, I tell you. Go ahead, then. I just had to get
season,
that in.
That season opened with me and Teresa, and the whole world was weighing in on whether or not my husband was cheating on me. And Teresa and Jennifer were calling people, trying to get information on my husband, trying to get pictures of women. And here comes this woman saying, hey, I got something for you to put in your pocket. So if Teresa was to say to me, well, your husband did this, I could say, well, your husband did this. I mean, that's the game. That's the game we're playing. I'm like, but to your point, Ronnie, which was Jackie explains it all like, listen, we were in a fight at the time, so of course I got this information. So why is it unjust for Margaret, theoretically, to say, well, I'm in a fight with Teresa, so of course I'm going to get this information. For some reason, it's only okay because Jackie was on the receiving end.
Right, and she's just been lambasting somebody else for doing the exact same thing all year long, even though it's now being proven that was Jackie, not even Marge, who did that. Oh,
so shame. Margaret's like,
the shame in it.
I still don't know why Jackie was not a full-time cast member this year. This is like, this is such a pivotal moment, you know? So Margaret's like, you're a fucking skank. And Jackie goes, oh, get the fuck out of here. You're a little fucking skank face.
Okay, I did meet with her. I'm going to confess again, just in case you guys didn't get that the first time, because I'm sure it's going to get screen time, right? So hold on, let's start that over. Teresa, I did meet with her. Bling, 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 bling. And Melissa's like, but you still to invite her to your home. And Marge's like, you're a fucking lawyer and you know how to do it all. Lawyers know how to invite people to homes. She did it, home inviter.
She leaked the shit. She knows how to do it. And Jackie's like, no, of course not. And Jen's like, yeah, but we asked you point blank if you were aware, baby. And I said no. And then Danielle tells us, she goes, wow, it was Jackie the whole time. I'm glad I only invited her to one party, not going to lie. Yeah. And this was the fourth.
Danielle's like, I was right about that one. Danielle, this is why I love Danielle, because it just cuts to Danielle's confessional and she's cracking up, laughing her ass off. She's like, oh my God, it was Jackie the whole time. I love this fucking show.
And Margaret then has the line of the night where she goes, you subpoenaed the wrong bitch.
You subpoenaed the wrong bitch. I had nothing to do with that. She goes, and you didn't put it in the media, Nita? And she's like, no, I didn't put it in the media. And so she goes, I swear on my son's life. Dun, dun, dun. And Jackie's like, I would never put anything in the media. I don't even know how to put anything in the media. What? How do you put things in the media?
Jackie's
you
first
literally
season.
Wrote an article about Jen. You're right.
Her first season was about her writing an article about Jen's house, about spilling the tea about Jen's house. And she's like, oh, I don't even know how to like leak gossip to it. I don't
You're
have any
right.
connections
her
to any
newspaper. Her initial storyline was being a writer for a newspaper. She was like a columnist in a newspaper. Yeah.
And she shaded Jen's house, which was, by the way, I fully stood behind Jackie on that storyline. So,
shaded her house and her parenting, remember? When she's like, well,
that was great.
You just give your kids everything that they want. That's not very healthy.
Oh, I love that. Can you count your bathrooms?
You're the one that says pizza out of a box on the driveway. So, Dolores, it's chaotic. And Marge is saying that she didn't speak to any bloggers or anything like that. And Jen is like, well, this is a fucking shit show. I don't even know why I'm here anymore. And Dolores is like, Jackie just admitted something to you. And are you okay with that, Teresa? And of course, Teresa's like, yeah, I'm fine because because she wasn't bringing it. Doesn't make
Basically,
any sense.
She's saying it's okay with her because she didn't bring it on the camera. Marge brought it on the camera. So Jackie may have found it out, but... I'm allergic
Ronnie,
to you. The lies.
Do you want me to call my allergist? Maybe you got some bone marrow on your nose.
Italians don't sneeze. Italians don't sneeze.
So then Melissa tries to insert herself again, and she goes, well, we're not over the fucking sprinkle cookies, but that's okay. That's okay. She's just trying so hard to like get into a fight. No one's taking the bait.
So Teresa's like, yeah, I'm not even talking to her. So I'm not surprised that Jackie talked to this person because I get why she did it because she thinks I was trying to hurt her with Evan, but I swear on my kids, I was not trying to hurt her.
Oh, you weren't? You swear on your kids? Okay, well, first of all, check the river because that's a blatant lie. Of course you were trying to hurt. Why else would you go around to every single person at her party saying that Evan cheated on her? Who were you trying to hurt, Teresa? Fucking liar. They all need to stop swearing on their children. And then in the next breath going,
oh, how could you do that to my daughters?
Children are off limits.
So they're just talking, you know, Margaret's talking to telling Jen, like, she had her at her house. Can you believe it? She had her at her house. And Jen's like, whoa, that's like really fucked up, baby. Jacket took notes from Margaret, like, went right over Margaret's head. I was like, don't want none, don't be none. So Melissa's like, she's like, now, Jennifer, come on now. She's like,
well, I think that Teresa needs to process. Like, no, 100%. Look, she's really, look, there's a lot of words that are being thrown at her, a lot of syllables. It's like watching the traffic try to go into the Holland Tunnel one car at a time, okay? Let's just wait. Let it process.
So funny.
Let that word get into her brains.
It's so funny. And she's like, yeah, I don't think she really heard it yet. And then she tells us, yeah, you know, Teresa... Wait, who says Teresa has... Oh, she goes, Teresa's also known to have a delayed reaction, baby. So she needs time to let it process and settle. I don't know if she's going to be okay.
And that's so true. It could be like 3 years from now, and Teresa's just going to like wake up like it's springtime and be like,
wing, wing, wing. Jackie, now what?
Dolores goes, all right, well, I think we've all said what we had to say today. Actually, there's a lot of stuff that still needs to be said, but the key is that Jackie turns out she's the villain here, and I'm good with that. I'm good with that. She called me Slob. My work is done.
Slob Judy. All right, you can call me Slob Judy.
Jen's so like, then, well, by the way, Jen is riding high because she knows she won her argument because, you know, she got Danielle to fight with her again. So she's just been having the best time. She's like, well, this was absolutely lovely, ladies. And she's like in this cartoon thing. She's literally acting like she's in a musical. Like, she's so exaggerated. Like, she's acting like she's in Guys and Dolls again.
That's our girl.
Lovely ladies.
So then Teresa's like, oh, really? What about Margaret? What are they talking about now?
She goes, what about Margaret? You were at my house. And Danielle's like, she's like, no, not on the level that you let this one. You know, no, it's like not. Teresa's still trying to be like, but Margaret.
They're like, it's over, Teresa. Sorry, you lost this one. So Rachel and Marge leave. And Rachel's like, I am exhausted. That was so hard. It was almost as hard as carrying charcuterie trays. So it was very difficult.
I need a nap. I mean, Jackie's posture, when you started talking, I literally saw her shirt start moving from her chest. It's just like the distance between her shirt and her chest grew by 3 inches.
So then Jackie's like, well, I never had anything to do with her again, guys. That was the only time. And Dolores goes, that's fine. Jackie, she's fine with it. You don't have to keep explaining yourself. You can go ahead and leave now. Jackie, you're excused. And Jackie's like, okay, well, Teresa, well, okay, well, we'll talk. Bye. Love you, Teresa. Bye. Lunch, right? Okay, talk soon. You'll call me on the way home. Okay. I'll be waiting.
And Jackie just sort of slinks away. And Teresa has this very, very quick, she just has a little grimace. So then Dolores is like, holy shit. Jackie's shitting her pants right now. She needs a fucking diaper in her car. Look at her. You want to talk about a slob? Look at all the feces on her legs after she's finished having diarrhea on her car.
Oh my gosh. So then Danielle's talking to the girls outside and she goes,
wait a minute, how did Bold Beetle back at Jackie? What the fuck kind of detective is that? Doesn't find that Jackie's hanging out with the lady at the house. And
Marcus, they weren't even suspicious with her. That's how people do this. That is a game player right there. She ain't on anybody's radar. That's the problem. Those are always the sneakiest ones. Let me tell you about a man named Sam.
She's what? And Jackie's walking out like Kaiser Soze. Like, it is the most hilarious thing.
And she does look like she shit her pants. She's walking kind of slowly and her, you know, she's she's walking like with her butt cheeks. I mean, she does look like she literally pooped her pants. And then she sees the girls around the corner. She goes, oh my God, she's there. I'm not going to go. I'm just going to wait right here. It's like, oh God,
your final moment is standing around the corner being too afraid to go out while you look like you just pooped your pants after getting found out on national TV.
You know, I mean, it's a shame.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, we like Jackie, right? I mean, I think we both
I do actually really like Jackie.
Oh, God, I don't like this.
Jackie's really stepped in the poop. But you know what, though? It's a shame that these women are so chaotic and, like, so venomous towards each other, because had there been sort of, like, calmer discussion and, like, a calmer fighting, like, I fight, now you fight moment, this could have been up there with Salt Lake City and the Monica reveal, you know? But Salt Lake City has someone like Heather who can make an amazing speech as part of the reveal. Margaret could do that, but you have Teresa constantly interrupting her. So you have, like, a pretty great twist, but
Well, you also had, I mean, I really think, and this is just my opinion because obviously there's no proof in what I'm saying here, but it seems like Heather had that information a long time. Like, looking back on that whole season and Monica and how that whole thing unraveled, and that Heather found out through her hairdresser, who is Monica's best friend, and then Monica was working for Jen, and they didn't. It seems like there was a good chance that people in production knew that Monica was up to all this stuff, and they were making it a good storyline, and Heather had time to prep all of this stuff. But I'm not taking away from it. It was a great season. But I think really for winging it as they did, I thought this was pretty good. I mean, I was cheering in my house. I was like, oh, no, what?
That was an amazing twist.
I, like, literally threw out the remote control in the air like a sitcom character who saw something shocking on TV.
That's why
I was like screaming in my house. So I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, and that's why I'm just shocked that Jackie was not a full-on cast member, because they really could have fleshed out more of Jackie's role and really made us feel a certain sort of thing, and then really they could have just amplified this moment even more. But it was still a pretty amazing twist. Like, it's definitely up there with Bravo twists. So she's wobbling out, and Jen's like, "That's Lars, we had all our grievances, you get an A for effort, and you know, as the great person once said,
that's not that won't be on yo.
Okay, I gotta go back to Bill."
So then Dolores is like, "Listen, I had to do it. Life is short. That's why. Now listen, family is everything, audience. But this group is no longer a family." And now it's just Dolores. Everybody's left. And Dolores is just sitting alone at the table. And she's like looking off into space while they play memories of what a lovely time we've all had together as a cast. And people laughing and talking about their husband's dicks and massaging prostates, and et cetera, et cetera. And then it just shows Dolores, like, they're like, "Dolores, just sit there. We're trying to get a shot." Dolores is like, "But that Cosmo hasn't completely been dry. I can't leave the Cosmo there." So she reaches across and grabs Jen's Cosmo and starts drinking it. They're like, "Dolores, stay still. We're trying to get this shot. But there's a cracker here with some tuna on it. I wonder how that tastes."
Wait a second. Is this a cracker or is it a puff pastry? God damn it.
So trying to have this big serious scene and montage, and Dolores can't be like letting a drink go. She's like, "Oh, I can't. What is a busboy going to get that? I do not want to contribute to busboy alcoholism. I've always wanted to try one of these, a Cosmo."
And it ends, and the screen collapses in. It sort of does this thing from the top and the bottom. They rise up. It's like the barn doors close. And we see a montage of through the years of like, America, I hope you enjoyed it, because that's it. That's all you're going to get. There'll be a viewing special next week, but no reunion. And basically what Andy was saying today was like, what's the point of having a reunion? They confronted each other with everything. They talked over each other. Nothing was going to move. He's like, "I would have just gone in there. You saw how I was." He told us, "You saw how I was last year during the reunion. I was more cross-eyed than I've ever been." I think he's like, "What's the point of me even doing this?"
But at the same time, that's always what it is. It's always been this way. There's never been a calm Jersey reunion. It's all screaming, and he always gets pushed down or pushed out of the way, or someone's screaming off camera they're going to murder the other people. They have to leave because someone's getting physically violent. I mean, it happens every year, and so I think that Bravo's making the stance now because they've gotten more in trouble for it the past couple of years, right? Like, we're a more sensitive country now, and so now it's like, you can't have violence, and you can't have this, and you can't have that is traumatic abuse. And so now people are more sensitive, so there's a rule now where if you get physically violent, first of all, you're going to have at least a better chance of getting fired. But then it's also like, if you don't make up, you're fired. I mean, we just saw it happen with Potomac, where he's like, "Okay, you guys have today to make up." He basically said it at the reunion, and then whoever didn't, see ya.
I think he's just exhausted. I would like to think it's because, oh well, we're trying to set a better example about violence. I think he's just like, I don't want to spend another fucking 12 hours trying to talk sense into someone like Teresa Giudice and having these women yell over me. And it's like, why am I even there? This is like, he probably hates doing the Jersey reunion. That's sort of what I gather. And he's just like, no, I'm not going to do it.
There are a couple things at play here. I mean, One, if you're sitting on the network side of it, you're thinking, okay, well, we tried to do a Teresa-free season, and it was the season of the Marchesis and the twins. By the way, the Marchesis trying to make it sound like they've been asked back, which is such bullshit. They're like, oh, we'll see. We'll see if Andy can handle real Trump fans. I'm like, okay. So anyway, they're like, we tried this before, and it was one of the most maligned seasons of Housewives that has ever been put out. So we can't do that. But I don't think that was necessarily just because of Teresa being gone. It was also because you had kind of horrible people like the Marchesis stepping up to the plate. I say give the twins another season. Give them another
bring the twins back.
Yeah.
The twins were hilarious and they deserve better than having Amber. Okay. So I say we can do like, you can reboot it. But, like, I think you can have Dolores back. You have the twins. I personally like Margaret, but they probably won't bring Margaret back. Margaret and the twins would be great. The thing is this, Margaret is very funny and she's very quick and she's very sharp. And whether you like her or not, those are good qualities to have in a Real Housewife. And I think you could have like Dolores and Margaret, twins, and then add some new people.
And the other thing I think, well, I guess this is part of the same, this is another side of the same coin, but the whole we can't bring Teresa back, or we can't fire Teresa again. You know, I was kind of with that this whole time. And I think I'd said on this show last week or somewhere, I was saying, you know, Teresa, she's got the Louis storyline, which as rough as it is to watch and as abusive as he seems, it's a train wreck that keeps you glued to the TV. So I think they would choose her over the other team. But then last night happened, and it's just more of Teresa talking over people, being dumb as a brick, trying to excuse abusive behavior from a man. And then when it cut to the commercial of her flipping a table, I was like, this is over. Like, this is officially the table flip. Like, it's done. It's over. Pack your shit and get the fuck out, you know?
And I think it's also interesting. It's also important to still set those precedents that, like, it doesn't matter how big you are. The show comes first, and if you're not going to play ball, if you're just going to be ridiculous like this, I mean, Teresa plays ball, but she doesn't play ball in terms of like listening to what other people say so that way they can have an effective conversation that could be good on TV. She shows up. She definitely shows up. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see. We'll see the special next week. It's a lot to take in. This is a big episode. This could be one of those episodes we'll always remember. And I guess it's a classic. Thanks everyone for being here, and we'll catch you. We still have House of the Dragon to do, and we've got a lot more coming up this week, so we'll catch you on the episodes and we'll talk to you next time. Bye everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie,
she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.